Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, this 9th day of September 2005. Glad you've joined us. In the studio this morning with me is Mr. Greg Ferrier, co-hosting today in a special edition, a producerless edition of Christian Worldview, as we both try to run the studio and do the show at the same time. Glad you joined us this morning. Want to say hello for a minute, Greg?
Good morning. Can you pick me up on the microphone now?
No, you're going to have to talk right and direct
right
into that thing.
Into the microphone,
yeah,
here?
Probably more like that.
How about like that? Are you picking me up now?
That looks good.
All right. Do you think we can launch this thing?
We're going to try.
All right.
All right. Let's look at some of the weather if we can here just real quickly. Let me see if I can get us a weather update. It looks like in Greenville, it looks like some hurricanes off the coast. Hope none of those make their way over here. That's another disaster on the make.
They're not supposed to.
They aren't supposed to make it over here?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, anyway, Greenville Spartanburg Airport, 59 degrees. Greenville downtown, 67. Anderson, 61. And Clemson, 62. Today, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 80s. Northeast winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. So it looks like another beautiful day. We've had several beautiful days here in the upstate of South Carolina. It looks like another one on tap for us today. So what else is in the news? What's going on today, Greg?
Well, I was just going to say there was a little chill in the air. You say 59 degrees here in Greenville over in Pickens County. It was a bit on the chilly side getting in here. But all the days should be like this one. This is a good part of the country to be at this time of the year.
Well, I'll tell you, it reminds me of California, because this is what California is like about 8 months out of the year. Very nice weather. No humidity.
Oh, well, welcome down to the land of cotton.
Yeah, that's right.
They grow a lot of that. They used to grow a lot of that around here.
Well, like I said, I'm from the true South, and in the true South, sometimes it gets a little bit, it gets a little bit wet from about April till October. From October till April, and then it's dry the rest of the year, and the weather's always very pleasant.
Mm. Well, I've been down here since, I've noticed the humidity when I came here. I'm from New Jersey originally, and of course, it can be 95 degrees during the day, and it'll be 93 during the night while you're trying to sleep. So this is a welcome relief down here. It's been so for quite a while. I got here as fast as I could.
Good. You want to just keep speaking straight into that microphone now,
right,
so everybody can hear you.
Can you still hear me?
You don't want to turn your head neither to the right nor to the left. You always got to just go straight into it. That's just the way the thing works, I think. Anyway, we're looking forward to a good show today. Yesterday we had some technical difficulties, and even this morning it looks like we're still having some difficulties in some areas of the upstate with our transmission. But anyway, our main transmission is up, and so is of course our webcast, which is what we mainly do here. And we're glad to be able to bring you the show today. Glad you joined us. I had a question who came that was emailed to us yesterday. I thought I'd do that first. This is from an anonymous writer, and the email address is New Revolution. So if you are New Revolution, you'll know who you'll know I'm responding to your email. The subject was welfare versus relief, and the person said, "I'm having a hard time understanding the difference between your definitions of welfare and the relief efforts going on in the Gulf region. Can you clear your perspective up for me?" Well, that's a fairly straightforward question. I appreciate the question. It's not actually that hard to clear up, I don't think. Anytime you have welfare, it requires that there's a government agency or a state agency involved in a proactive sense of redistributing wealth from one person to another. And it's a forcible redistribution in the sense that someone is being taxed under compulsion or coercion, and through extortive means, essentially, being forced to give up some of his money to help someone else. And he may not even know who he's helping. The government just takes other people's money and gives it to people who are in need. Charity, on the other hand, is quite different because it's a voluntary institution where somebody who wants and desires to help someone else gives voluntarily of his own money to an agency or to any other institution, and that institution then has a specific purpose of giving the money or helping the people in need, victims or otherwise. So the donor usually knows exactly where his money's going to. I mean, he has some cause he's donating to, and he has a full full knowledge and a full willingness to give his money away. That's his goal. And the charity case is very different than the extortion case. So there's your difference, essentially. You have extortion on the one hand, you have volunteerism on the other hand, you have compulsion by the state on the one hand, and you have the volunteer efforts of private enterprise on the other.
Yeah, John, you know, it's an interesting thing about the competition going on between the two. Did you get that email that was going around talking about this group that brought something like 42 tons of material down there to New Orleans, and the FEMA boys tried to stop them from coming in, the FEMA being the government, and these other fellas coming down there with 42 tons of material. The government tried to stop them from coming in there, and of course now I've been listening to Neocon Radio when I'm out of range of TRN, and hopefully TRN is going to broaden its horizons in the not too distant future.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to my original thing where the government is giving the charities, the people coming down there, a difficult time. As a matter of fact, I think, are we getting the signal that we need to take a break and take this up a little later, and we can keep on going? All right. Well, I've been listening, when I'm out of range of TRN, I listen to Neocon Radio, and I found most of these guys are falling all over themselves to, excuse the mistakes of the government. Now, to be fair with them, they all tell you that big government is the problem and the bureaucracy is the problem, but they seem to be, in my estimation of it all, falling all over themselves to excuse the coercion and the hindering that that FEMA and other government groups do, even the local New Orleans and Louisiana governments in prohibiting these charities from come, even the Red Cross from coming in with bottled water to the big stadium, the Superdome down there.
Well, that's a great point. Yes, I've seen those articles, and they're troubling. But on the one hand, on the other hand, they're not surprising because on the other, because we know that the state has these incentives to engender crisis and make opportunity of whatever crisis there is to bolster its own power and profit. But it is time to go to a break now, and we're going to try to do that here. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith, of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Well, I'd say we're not all that comfortable right here in the studio. This is one reason that I'm here to try and comfort John as he's trying to produce the show here today. I see him pushing buttons and looking all over the place. Are you okay over there?
Not exactly. I'm doing okay. I've been watching Daniel and the other producers here do their job so well for so long. I have an idea what I'm supposed to press and supposed to do, but it won't be as flawless as when the pros are here.
Yeah, well, it brings up the subject that we do need volunteers for TRN, and to keep us on the air in such a way that goes smoothly. Up to now, it seems fairly smoothly, except I see John having to wiggle around and struggle over there to keep us up on the air. So there is evidence that we need volunteers to help us along the way.
Yes, we sure do. And if you want to volunteer, simply go to the tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com website and go under the contacts tab. Under that tab, you'll find various links to click on people's names like Richie, Brad, Mark, Chuck. Those people can all be contacted, and you can let them know by email that you're interested, and we'll be happy to put you to good use here at the Tyranny Response Network. The same thing can be said if you want to call Chuck at 458-1981. He'd be happy to hear from you. I know he's not in the office today, but give him a call, and he'll be able to set you up with a great bit of work at the Tyranny Response Network. Glad you joined us this morning. Remember, we just had this this very eloquent person, I hope, talking about the Bill of Rights, because he's not very eloquent at the moment, stumbling over words, trying to think about more than one thing at a time. The Bill of Rights are an important piece of our lives as Americans. It's something that is completely forgotten by many people because of the public schooling and because of the influence of the media trying to downgrade the whole thing. But we see the violations going time and again in places like New Orleans right now, where the military seems to be stopping, as we've said, food shipments from reaching there, or FEMA, one of the two, as well as forcing people to leave their homes. I mean, what right does government have to force people away? The only legitimate functions government has, as far as, you know, a Christian worldview is concerned, or the Founding Fathers is concerned, is to protect people from predators. And those predators in New Orleans might be infectious disease, and that could well be the job of the state. It certainly would be protecting them from looters and those who would want to go around as thugs hurting people. That's it, though. They don't need to be controlling the situation in any other way. That's not their business. And if someone wants to sit there in New Orleans in the ravaged condition that it is, then they should be able to do so. Why not? It's supposedly a free country, isn't it? And they have their own personal liberties guaranteed by the Bill of Rights, but no more. Not in this country. They're being stomped on right and left.
All right, John, let me run that one past you. Talking about infectious diseases in the government's place, let me give you a little scenario. Way back when, and it continues on to now, missionaries used to go to these places, and we always think of Africa and primitive places in the world. Of course, some African cities are as modern as ours, as we would hope they would be. But missionaries went, missionary doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals, as we might want to call them now. They did a lot of work. What about something like missionaries going down to New Orleans now? And, you know, via church groups, fraternal organizations, and things like that, could they handle it just as well as government? Would there be a conflict there? I bet you there'd be a conflict. What's the legitimacy of both of those things?
I'm sure there would be a conflict. I think they're both legitimate. The governmental use of its power in cases like this would be very, very restricted. It'd only be used in epidemic cases. The government does not need to get involved when there's just one or two cases. Only when there is a threat to society, as you may want to say, or many individuals all at once, and there's no way for any single individual to defend himself against it. You know, if just one person you quarantine, or 15 people you put on in an area that they're not going to spread the plague, that's fine. That's easily done without the state. But when it gets so bad that no individual can do and defend himself individually like he can collectively, that's when we when you have a role for the state stepping in.
Yeah, well, down here in New Orleans, we're having a situation where it's really quite widespread. I've gotten the signal here again from our producer host that we got to go take a break, and we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with
Great force. And we're seeking to hurl back liberalism, the liberalism of today, perhaps better called modernism, because the left has stolen that term from us. Something I was going to say before, which reminded me of John reading the Bill of Rights, that inspires me every time I hear him read it. And if any of you out there hearing us on the webcast or wherever you may be hearing us, if you'd like to get a copy of that, contact us here at TRN, and we can get a copy of that if you'd like to play it on your own radio program. And that's something that most people don't even know about, could not recite them, like Most people couldn't recite the Ten Commandments. How about the Bill of Rights? There's there's something we all, as American citizens, need to have in our heads and in our hearts. Another interesting thing that struck me, according to the Bill of Rights, I was listening to the No Spin Zone with Bill O'Reilly the other day, and he was talking about all the goings on down in New Orleans, and he said what happened there was, he said it convinced him to get a gun. He said this whole fiasco going on down there in New Orleans is, he said it speaks volumes for, maybe not his words exactly, but it speaks volumes for the Second Amendment, where people are getting shot at and people are getting assaulted, robbed, raped, and everything else like that. And as the police are not everywhere they need to be, people have guns and are protecting their own homes. So as O'Reilly says, that it speaks volumes for the Second Amendment and the need thereof. And he actually went out and said, I'm going to get a gun. He says, because if I ever got in a situation like that, of course, he lives out in Long Island and up off of New York. He said, if it ever happened around there, he said, they'd kill me. So here he is. Old Bill says he's going to go out and
Good for him. He needs
get
to
get a gun.
He definitely needs to get a gun, and we hope he gets several guns, as a matter of fact. Well, we got just a second before we go back to the top of the hour break, trying to catch up on our break schedule here. I just wanted to remind you, you talked about FEMA's efforts in debilitating the relief that's going on down there. The Libertarian Party sent out something that was interesting, too. It said, Pastor Brad Bullock just contacted us regarding the efforts to assist hurricane victims in Franklin, Louisiana. He's the pastor of the First Assembly of God, one of the largest churches in Franklin. A network of churches in Franklin was quick to aid the victims of Katrina, and a fund has been set up to offer direct aid for those in need. Information is listed below, they said. He said that they sheltered the Red Cross for a day as they were lost on their way to New Orleans. At this church, the Red Cross moved on from Franklin, saying that they were doing a great job and could not do much better. Bullock also noted that the government is now attempting to take over shelter and aid efforts in the town. They are resisting as the network of churches has no red tape and has already found homes for 20 families. To assist this Franklin community in their efforts to help the victims of Katrina, send goods or donations to the following, and they give the address, First Assembly of God, 1096 Northwest Boulevard in Franklin, Louisiana, 70538. So it's interesting that they're another example of bungling in some extent by government, but even the Red Cross and all its bureaucratic haze was not able to do things efficiently as the local churches were doing. And that the local churches are the ones who should be helping here.
Oh, indubitably, without a doubt. Okay, we'll take all this up in the next segment, so it's time for a break.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
All right, welcome back. Here we are, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and me, Greg Farrier. And it looks like John here is itching to do the weather.
Well, I don't know about itching, but I'm going to do it as a good public servant that I am. That's what I really am, right? A public servant. Well, maybe not.
Now, what day is it today? So when we do these casts, you know, when we recast this program, we don't want somebody, if one of these hurricanes is hitting us and you're telling us what a beautiful day it is today.
Well, you can tell them what the date is. I think it's the 9th of September. But you're, I believe so, 9th of September 2005, and it should be a beautiful day, actually. Greenville, Spartanburg, 63 degrees. Greenville downtown, 67. Anderson and Clemson both checking in at 64. Today, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 80s. Northeast winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour.
All right. Back to the whole matter of disaster relief and so forth. I'd just like to relate a little story that my grandfather told me several times. He was what's commonly called a doughboy in World War One, and of course those guys went through some terrible times, and they were always in need of supplies, and they always had their shortcomings and shortfalls, and of course the hurt and the wounded. There's one outfit that we don't want to forget, which my grandfather never did forget, and as a matter of fact he left them in his will, and that was the Salvation Army, and he always considered them to be very much more efficient than any of the other charities out there, and they were always there to help in the mud and the rain and whatever else, where some of the other more famous outfits were doing a lot more grandstanding and showboating and so forth.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'll tell you what, the private charities, especially the church, are the most efficient organization because they're God-ordained to do this kind of work. And we're not surprised that they do better than the state or basically anybody else. And so it's impressive. I appreciate that that comment reminding us of the need of the church to do these kinds of efforts, step in and actually take charge. You know, I was just reading a story that we got from Becky Akers. Actually, she's a historian who specializes in the American Revolutionary period. There's a story she wrote called "No Thanks, Leviathan." The Homeland Security Department has requested and continues to request that the American Red Cross not come back to New Orleans, said Renita Holzer, the charity spokeswoman, in Saturday's Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Right now, access is controlled, and we have by the National Guard and local authorities. We have been at the table every single day asking for access. We cannot get into New Orleans against their orders. Wow, there's just no access. This is the problem every relief group is facing. The Canadians stocked planes with food, medical supplies, and water purification systems. 100 Canadian Red Cross workers hoped to ship south as well, but someone forgot to genuflect in Washington's direction first. The Department of Homeland Security, ever vigilant against terrorists, refused our best friends and neighbor permission to enter the country. Isn't that something?
I'm amazed at that. Of course, having read your book and chatted with you from time to time about what government actually does, it's, well, the kings of the earth rise up, it seems, and they, whenever somebody wants to try and do some good, they may, up in front of everybody, pat them all on the back, but when it comes to actually letting them do their work, they always seem to get in the way.
They sure do. I'll tell you, it's one mess after another. You know, before we go to our next break, I want to remind folks about the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website. I had the great pleasure, as usual, of attending the Libertarian Party business meeting last night. And why did I do that? Well, for one reason, I'm a pro-life libertarian. But for another reason, I happen to know that these meetings occur because I go to tyrannyresponse.com regularly. Now, of course, I should be going there regularly. Why not, being the show host of Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network? But at the bottom of the events tab, if you click that tab, you will find there the September calendar, and that tells you, it informs you, that last night there was a Libertarian Party business meeting. There are no other special meetings going on this week. However, next week we have the Carolina Patriots in Asheville on Tuesday, the League of the South meeting on Thursday night, and the Patriots, Carolina Patriots in Fountain Inn on Friday night. So all of those events are available for you. We hope that you'll check out the tyrannyresponse.net and tyrannyresponse.com website and get in touch with all the local events happening here in the upstate.
All right, now it's time to go for a break as we have our production staff our skeleton production staff is getting ready to push the button. We'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
All right, we're back. And let me just throw a little endorsement for that book, The Bible and Government. I've read it and commented on it and thought about it. Let's all get a copy of that book and think about it.
Well, I appreciate that that endorsement, Greg, and it's been a useful book, I think, for many people. It was just translated into Spanish and was of great use to evangelicals down in Lima, Peru, and probably will continue to be. And we hope that many people will begin to understand what's going on with the state. Right now we have a caller coming in on the line, and we'd like to try to take you on the air. I'm going to hope I've got you on the air. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with? Well, hang on a second. We'll see if we can get you on the air. Welcome to Christian Worldview. Are you on the air? Well,
let's see, we got to push the right button here.
Well, we lost our caller, it looks like. Unfortunately, we had a caller. I'm sorry about that. I don't know how to put you on the air. Try it again. And
are we still there? I can hear myself. All right.
Yeah, we're still here. Go ahead, Greg, with the story. I'll come right back to you.
All right. Here's one from Fox News here. Washington, this is September 7th. Dispossessed families of Hurricane Katrina will receive debit cards good for $2,000 to spend on clothing and other immediate needs. The Bush administration announced Wednesday, working to recast a relief effort, drawing scant praise from Republican and scathing criticism from top congressional Democrats. John, if we had a gold or a silver standard, a precious metal standard, could the government get away with debit cards like that? And the reason I ask, I had a discussion with a friend of mine yesterday, and I think it came out as a draw, and that it is so ingrained in us that we have to deal with these Federal Reserve notes. One of the things that he said to me was, if we ever went back on a gold standard or a precious metal standard, there wouldn't be enough gold to run the economy. Run your thoughts back to me on that, and to those of us out here listening.
There's always enough gold to run the economy. It's just a matter of mining it, and as well as how much it'll be worth in terms of other goods and services. It may be that an ounce of gold would go up to $2,000 per ounce if we had no fractional economy. I don't know, but in some ways, gold would not even be measured in dollars at that point, because we wouldn't have them anymore. We just use the gold and the currency, but there would be plenty enough to go around, especially because the vast majority of transactions are not done with the actual specie itself, simply with checkable accounts. So I don't think there's going to be any trouble there. And of course, with this debit card's interesting, because we have a system where we have over $1 billion a day being added to the national debt, an incredible amount. Well, if you give $2,000 to 500,000 people, how much have you spent? $1 billion. It's not that much money really going out to, compared to what the government's used to spending. So this is a drop in the bucket for them, and I don't know whether they'll increase taxes or just increase the national debt, in order to pay for this, but, at any rate, for them it is using the funny money in one way or another to advance their cause.
Yeah, something like if I, were to, loan you $1,000, I just give you a checkbook and say, John, you can write all these checks to pay your debts up to the $1,000 or $10,000 or whatever it is. As long as you could keep fooling the people that you're writing the checks to, as long as they don't come back looking for it, in anything with intrinsic value, we can keep getting away with it, and that's what the government keeps doing. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's precisely what the state is trying to do. They're getting away with it because people will not put them into check on it. They don't realize that they even have a fractional reserve system, most people. They don't realize what government can do, its power over the money supply. And as long as there's ignorance, government will be able to get away with murder, literally. So by all means, we need to stand firm and in our own principles and then also become more informed as to how these things kind of work. The Federal Reserve, for instance. You might want to pick up a copy of The Creature of from Jekyll Island by Edwin Griffin. It's a big book, but it's an interesting novel to read about the fraud of the Federal Reserve System and how it began here in America. Again, that's Edwin G. Griffin, The Creature from Jekyll Island. I want to give a quick plug before we move on and back to this, Greg, or other topic about the Times Examiner. That's the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists. And the Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full year subscription is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 to get your subscription started. If you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner and help the paper out as well as help your business out, it's not expensive to do so. Give David a call directly at 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. Ask specifically for David when you do so. I had one other comment I wanted to make about the whole thing going on in New Orleans, and it's an economics discussion a little bit, but some people are getting rich right now. They're going to go down and make a lot of money by either cleaning up debris in New Orleans or start rebuilding homes and things like that. And for some people, this is a great boom because, wow, it's a boon and a boom. We're going to end up making more money and there's going to be better jobs and so forth. But are disasters really beneficial for the economy? This is a good economics question we have. Some people think that they are. In fact, the old Keynesians used to believe it didn't matter what happened to you, as long as you could make money by being employed by somebody passing out the cash, it was always good, even if that cash were borrowed, for instance. So old Keynesians would say, well, let's just go ahead and have one person dig a ditch in the morning and in the afternoon have someone else come and fill it in. As long as they're both working, even though they produce nothing, it's profitable. Henry Hazlitt responded in his book, Economics in One Lesson, that there's a fallacy in all this. Let's suppose that someone rides by someone's shop and throws a brick through the window. Isn't this good for the economy? He said, think about it. The glazier is going to have to come out and make the glass, and somebody's going to have to come and install it. And there's going to be some productivity in the economy because of somebody threw a brick through the window. The fallacy of it all is somebody didn't realize how much money was wasted by this kind of activity. For instance, the person who owns the store that has to repair the glass, he has to use capital that he could have otherwise used to expand his business or pay another employee or do something else, consume the money in some other way. Even if he took a vacation with the money, he's no longer able to do that because he has to repair something that was previously there. Now, sure, someone else has some money because they have a job instead of somebody receiving the money where he went on vacation or another employee receiving the money or the expansion of his business occurring. Someone sure is receiving the money, but the difference is the capital has been destroyed. The man's savings is gone. That's the simple lesson, the fallacy of all this, an idea that the economics, there's going to be an economic boom as a result of all of this. Now, there are some people who will profit, just like the person who has to repair the glass from the New Orleans catastrophe. But in terms of a general economic movement, it's not good for the economy to have disasters because it destroys capital, it destroys wealth, it destroys savings and the ability that we have to expand here. So I wanted to mention that because it seemed like that issue was already coming up here and there, and economically it's a fallacy. Don't be deceived, especially those of us who are Christians, by not understanding simple economics.
All right, we have to go to a break now. We got a moment or two. All right, are we ready for the break? We're ready to push the button? No? Well, we'll take I have a little story apropos to this, and we'll take it up in a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show,
please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
We're ready back. I can hear myself in the headset now. All right. You are on Radio Free Greenville, and we're trying to free the United States from the big government that is not so slowly taking over our situation here. John, do you want to read this Walter Williams column?
Well, I do. We have a couple. One of our favorite whipping boys here, for good reason, is the Government Indoctrination Center, the so-called Pagan Seminary, that is the public school. And Walter Williams had an excellent column this week in the Times Examiner. I thought I'd read that for a minute, then I know Greg has another column he wants to follow up on from the Washington Times. Here's what Walter says. Imagine you're a head physician faced with a large-scale disaster such as a September 11th attack on the World Trade Center, the Oklahoma City bombing, or battlefield casualties. The first thing that must be acknowledged is that you have limited resources. That means treatment priorities must be set. This is the foundation for triage, the word from the French verb trier, which means to sort. I'm going to have Greg just check my level here to make sure we're okay. As long as we're not too loud coming over the air, when you have these amateur production folks like us here, we got to make sure we're doing it right. Anyway, some disaster victims are critically injured and require immediate treatment. if they are to survive. Other victims are already dead, and others, though alive, are so severely injured that no degree of medical help will enable them to survive. Then there are others who are injured and require medical attention, but they will not die if care is delayed. It is a waste of resources to give medical attention to a victim who's going to die, no matter what is done to give a medical attention to a victim who, though injured and requiring medical attention, won't die if care is delayed, when to do so takes medical attention from a victim who will survive only if given immediate treatment. For efficient, not to mention humane, resource allocation, medical resources should be first spent on victims who will die if unattended, but next will survive if attended. Next, treat victims who will get better or at least survive until more resources are available. And last, to treat and give comfort to those who will die even if attended. Any doctor who'd say, in the interest of fairness, I'm going to treat all victims equally on a first-come, first-served basis, or for who are nearest death, shouldn't be seen as compassionate and caring. The triage principle is applicable to any disaster. When the average black high school graduate has an academic achievement level on par with that of a white 7th or 8th grader, and that the achievement level of the white 7th and 8th graders are nothing to write home about, I think we can reasonably say black education is a disaster. As such, we might benefit from what could be called educational triage. There's no question that black youngsters from female-headed and low or moderate income households can excel academically. Partial evidence is achievement levels of black youngsters who attend private schools, such as Marcus Garvey in Los Angeles, and he names a few other ones. Educational triage would acknowledge that there are black youngsters who cannot benefit academically, no matter how many educational resources are spent on them. They have little or no family support. Their very presence in school, though disruptive and through disruptive and criminal behavior, makes education impossible for others. Spending resources on these youngsters is the educational equivalent of medical practitioners spending resources on disaster victims who will die even if treated. These youngsters should be removed and not allowed to take resources to make education impossible from those who have a chance for academic achievement. So here Walter Williams is saying the most efficient thing to do is sometimes not educate people at all. And I would say in general it's better for no one to go to the public school. But this is interesting. From an economic point of view, Walter Williams points out, I think, a very important truth, that it's a waste of money, taxpayers' money, to send anybody to school, to a school who won't learn anything at the school, that no matter what treatment is given to him, he will die, so to speak. He will not get the education that's required.
John, let me throw one of my little life experiences back at you. When I was a respiratory therapy student, I had a patient. He was a very sick man. I remember he had a tracheostomy, and he was not very well at all. And I went back and I told my medical head about all this, and his words to me were, "Let him die." And of course, as a new student, I was rather shocked at that sort of thing. You know, when you see somebody there, and I've seen a number of them in my lifetime, where there's not a whole lot left of them, and you want to be able to do something for them. There's a lot of emotion potentially there. How does that work out in economics? Does that transfer over to, these poor kids, they're all going to end up as robbers and thieves? They're probably robbers and thieves already. But how does that, I'm just talking in terms of how usually the left and perhaps even people of the right would look at the sick student, if you will, the student who is beyond hope, and of course then there's making the decision and judging who is what.
Yeah, well, you know that there is something to be said for that perspective. I think that Walter Williams has it right on the head, and hits the nail right on the head here. We need to just let these students go out and sweep the streets, go out and take lower level jobs and so forth. There is really no hope, especially not through public education, of ever educating these people. It's just going to become a babysitting service or a place where you can fester crime and so forth. And so I appreciate the comment there, Greg.
Yeah, it nurtures crime. They can go to a place where they can be with a bunch of their other criminals. All right, it's time to take another break, and we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
All right, this is Greg Farrier along with Dr. Coben. But first, our weatherman was a little worried about this hurricane off the east coast of Florida, but his worries have been alleviated somewhat. Let's hear what he has to say about today's weather in Greenville.
Well, all I can know is what it says right here on the page. Greenville-Spartanburg Airport, 63 degrees. Downtown Greenville, 67. Anderson and Clemson checking in at 64 degrees. Today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. That was last night. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. I want to also remind you that Rippin' Richie's Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse is now heard on the afternoons, most afternoons on the Tyranny Response Network from 4:30 to 6. I do happen to know he's not going to be doing a show today. He doesn't do it every day, but most days he does. But be sure to tune in again on Monday for another edition of the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse here on TRN.
All right. There's been an article handed to me here called from the Washington Times, as Gordon Liddy used to say. It's called Public School Days by David Salisbury.
That's days.
Days, like D-A-Z. You're in a daze when you're not functioning too well. That also, I think of, speaking of Gordon Liddy, one time he had it sounded like a snooty old lady called in one time, and she was very upset that these children were bringing these cheap handguns to the public schools. And, of course, Gordon Liddy, in his inimitable way, said, "You're right, because these children ought not to be bringing cheap handguns to school. They should be bringing good guns down there into those dangerous places called public schools." And that lady, we never heard from her again. But anyway, here's this thing by David Salisbury called, from the Washington Times, called Public School Days. As summer's end nears, students head back to school. Despite years of effort to improve American education, many of these student schools will not provide them the basic skills needed to enter college or succeed in a career. Some states' public schools graduate as few as 55% of students. U.S. test scores versus other countries decline the longer students are in school. So the longer you're in, the worse it gets, I guess. Our teachers complain of overwhelming bureaucracy and government mandates. Public school expenditures per student continue rising, even though higher expenditures don't produce better student performance. Over the last 30 years, per pupil expenditures have tripled in real dollars, yet scores on the National Assessment of Education Progress, remain nearly flat. Clearly, our public school problems are not related to lack of money, but because the government has a near monopoly on education, and taxpayer support and student attendance are mandatory. The public school system is insulated from market forces and competition that might produce improvements. John, would you like to comment on that? The public school system is insulated from market forces and competition that might produce improvements.
Well, anytime you have a government-run bureaucracy like the public school system, any welfare system whatsoever, you're insulated from market forces because it has nothing to do with the free market. The free market can't vote like it normally would, and the way people vote in the free market is not to buy the product or service. And in the public school, everyone is forced to buy this thing, to pay for it, whether or not they like it, whether or not they send their kids there. They all have to pay for it. That's why it's such an egregious welfare transfer from one group to another. It's also an institution which has no input from the free market in terms of what is taught there. It's simply a bureaucratic decision, a top-down forced ideology that's pushed into students' minds, whether it be Darwinism, socialism, environmentalism. All of these things are pushed in there, whether or not they have any merit or success under the market system. So in the free market, if an idea is no good, if people aren't interested in something, it's not kept, it's discarded. And here we have bad ideas continually promulgated by the public school system or the government indoctrination center, because an ideology drives it by forcing people through extortion to pay for it and continue to support it throughout time.
When I was a kid in school, I remember being taught all those types of evolution and big government and so forth. Let's take this up in a moment, John. We have to go to a break right now, and we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
All right, we're back afflicting the comfortable and trying to comfort the afflicted. I started to tell a little bit of my own history back in school in the 50s and on into the 60s, where the whole situation where the teaching of evolution and so forth was just widely accepted by the public. And if you didn't want to, of course, where I grew up, there were a lot of private schools, mostly the Christian Reformed people and the Catholic kids that didn't want to be subject to the public school. But the mass of us all went to the public schools. Now it's interesting to me that as I have become an adult and a father of children and have been concerned for their education, I've been aware that the evangelicals of our day, the creationists, Henry Morris, and with the Institute for Creation Research, Walt Brown for the creation science, the Institute for Creation Science, Ken Ham and his Answers in Genesis, and many more have come out and actually challenged the teaching of evolution, and this has gotten its way into the public schools and caused a big furor. And it seems to make the public schools even more, what's the word I'm looking for? I wanted to say violent, in some cases, rather vociferous in their defense of evolution. I saw you leaning over the mic. I didn't know if you were going to add anything to that, John.
No, I mean, you're doing fine here. This is interesting stuff. I think the public school has been inundated, of course, with evolution for years, and now that there is some doubt, especially from this whole intelligent design movement that aren't even believers, it'd still say that there's something intelligent created the life on Earth. When you see all that happening, it does cause a furor, an uproar in the Government Indoctrination Center. Government Indoctrination Center, the whole philosophy that's taught there, secular humanism, environmentalism, socialism, all those things require, as a mainstay, as a staple, as the fundamental of their whole ideology, the doctrine of Darwinism, the origin of the species, described it through natural selection. That is required to make their whole system work in every aspect. It's the basis for everything.
Yeah, I've heard Dr. Rushdoony say, as I'd said on the radio show before, that your views of origins and creation will oftentimes reflect your views in political / social ideas. If you have all things in a uniformitarian way of development, where there is no God, there is no responsibility, the pigs take over to try and bring order out of that chaos. Of course, when you have, and that was not all Rushdoony, that was partly me in there, you have the situation where you have a creator who you are responsible to, when you learn about that and begin to realize that, then that gives you a whole nother perspective on your education. God has created these things all for a purpose, and you are responsible to Him in the things that you do and the things that you say. You are, like Dr. Van Til used to say, that all non-biblical religion seeks to dethrone God and to set man up in his place.
Very, very much so. In fact, it influences every part of our lives. I just was looking at a couple other stories that we were waiting for, actually thinking about this very theme. There's a new study that finds babies cry in the womb. Even the bottom lip quivers. Isn't that disgusting when they think about chopping up babies? They don't want to give them anesthesia because that would be admitting, of course, that they are really, really babies or children or human beings that are living, being persons. But the whole idea of abortion, where does it come from? Where does the idea come that we can take away life at will and decide who lives and dies? It's a Darwinian idea. It comes from the whole basis of Darwin's evolution of natural selection, and that a committee of men, government or otherwise, can decide who lives or dies, who has rights and who doesn't have rights. This is against the Christian worldview, folks. This is not what Christian world, what Christian worldview is, and it's not only that, it's against the principles of the founding fathers and the provision of our great country and our heritage here in America. We need to know this difference and stop against that sort of thing. When we hear people promulgating the nonsensical views of Darwin and his what his evolutionary theory leads to, we need to stand firm and answer, give an answer for the faith and for the vision of liberty in this country.
That all has to do with the continuing reformation, and I trust there is a continuing reformation in our times. Outfits like TRN and others, other people that have done a lot of groundwork for us, and Henry Morris back in 1960, I wasn't even out of high school yet. He had written that book with Henry Morris and John Whitcomb had written a book called The Genesis Flood, and that all was a scientific look at the flood and all the evidences therein, where you see different, they had different, it was all a black and white thing. It's not as fancy as so many of these things are now, where you would see trees that were in layers. They found all kinds of where the layers were supposed to have taken, say, thousands or millions of years to form, you find whole trees that are just set between the layers in the rocks. Hmm. And all kinds of evidences for a deluge. Henry Morris, by the way, got his Ph.D. in hydraulic engineering. So the man knew his way around. He's not the kind of guy that some evolutionary engineer or biologist could come up and say, Dr. Morris, you don't know what you're talking about, because he was a hydraulic engineer. He knew what water did in the various things that water gets involved in, like floods and other situations like that. I always like Ken Ham's little ditty that he, or little poem or whatever you might, a little saying that he comes up with: billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. How did they get there? Why, it looks like there must have been a flood. Why, do you think there was a flood? Yeah, I dare say there probably was one. Are we having to go for a break right now? All right, maybe we can take this up in our next little segment here. And away we go. We'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just wanted to give this breaking news out that came from PrisonPlanet.com. Report that armed Mexican troops invade the United States. Eyewitnesses under cover of aid. Combat-ready soldiers roll into Texas. Congressman Ron Paul says Mexican troops in the U.S., period, is illegal and unconstitutional. This is interesting news. I don't have any more update on that. If you want to talk about it, make sure to give us a call at 244-8177 or 201-6955. But at any rate, we have one more story we wanted to talk about today. If you have any comments about this, though, be sure to call. We'll be following it for you and probably on Monday morning have more to say about the Mexican invasion.
What is the date on that report?
John? This, I think it's this morning.
This morning.
Yeah, it looks like September. Well, actually, it might be September 8th. Might be September 8th.
Yeah, a lot of things coming to a head in this country. Gun control and what the government does for welfare and a lot of people asking a lot of questions. When O'Reilly goes out and buys a gun, I guess things are beginning to break. When I knew I was coming on the show here, I was out in my library. My wife is helping fix up my library somewhat, and I picked up a book by David Kingdon. It's an old book, and I can't find the date on it right away. It's actually, you call it a pamphlet, called A Gospel of Violence, having to do with revolutionaryism and so forth. And it's by one David Kingdon, who I think is a South African. And anyway, I thought I'd just read this. It has to do with some of the things that John has deals with in his book, The Bible and Government. And I'm just going to read this and let John listen and comment if he chooses. This is just some opening paragraphs here. Despite the impression one receives from the writings of the contemporary theologians of revolution, the problem of violent revolution has been much discussed in the history of the church, particularly from the time of the Reformation onwards. Broadly speaking, Christian writers on the subject of violent revolution have divided into two camps. A, those who have argued that revolutionary violence is wrong under all circumstances because the state, however bad, may become The state, however bad it may become, still remains the ordinance of God, and is therefore not to be resisted by force of arms. And B, those who have maintained that if the state punishes the good and rewards the evil, it ceases to be the servant of God and has become the servant of the devil, and thus may legitimately be resisted and overthrown. A representative of the first viewpoint we may cite William Tyndale in his work The Obedience of a Christian Man, 1528, the year 1528. He states that God hath made the king in every realm judge over all, and over him there is no judge. He that judgeth the king judgeth God, and he that layeth hands on the king layeth hands on God, and he that resisteth the king resisteth God. Though he be the greatest tyrant in the world, yet is he unto thee a great benefit of God. In contrast to this argument was John Knox. Quote, the common song of all men is, we must obey kings, be they good or be they bad, for God has so commanded. But horrible shall the vengeance be that shall be poured forth upon such blasphemers of God, his holy name and ordinance. For it is no less blasphemy to say that God commanded kings to be obeyed when they commanded impiety, and to say that God by his precept is author and maintainer of all iniquity. True it is, God has commanded kings to be obeyed, but like true it is that in all things which they commit against his glory, or when cruelly without cause they rage against their brethren, the members of Christ's body, he has commanded no obedience, but rather he has approved, yes, and greatly rewarded such as have oppressed themselves to their ungodly commandments and blind rage, as in the example of the three children of Daniel and Abed-Melech.
Well, I tell you, Greg, appreciate you reading that story. We have just a couple minutes left on the program today, and I thought I might comment just quickly on them. Of course, the contrast here is between the divine right school and the theonomic school, John Knox being a renowned theonomist, making a very eloquent defense. And in this particular case, I would agree with him, not because kings are impious so much, but because I think they are completely satanic in nature, and any time it is possible to resist, we should do so when they are trying to attack us and become predators. The divine right view that we have to obey kings no matter what, because resisting them is resisting God, and somehow resisting the goodness of God and going against God's will, is not true. When we read Romans 13, we find that we do resist the ordinance of God, what God has ordained, and because of that we may face consequences, but to resist evil does not mean we resist God himself or what he wants us to do. We just resist what God has ordained, and we need to expect that by resisting something that God has ordained and set up in place like an evil or satanic government, then we're going to have consequences for that. So I appreciate you reading that, Greg. Unfortunately, we come to the end of the show here. Won't have a lot of time to talk more about that today, but maybe next time we get together, we can talk about that again.
No, I'll be glad to. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, yeah, we're glad you could be here today, and we thank our audience for putting up with my rather lame production efforts. But we're going to try to close the show now. And thanks for listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Look forward to seeing you again Monday morning for another edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Good day. And I hope you all appreciate John's Herculean efforts at the control board here.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us at 7:30 Monday morning right here on TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, for another installment of Christian Worldview.